This program is made possible by the giving of the God Called Partners of Renner Ministries.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and I'm in the floodplain just below the landing place of Noah's Ark. And I'm in a very, very ancient building, which many scholars and researchers believe marks the place where Noah lived in the valley when he became a husbandman. Later, this was turned into a church to commemorate this place. It dates all the way to the Armenian times and perhaps even to Byzantine times when people were able to mark these locations. And it was turned into a church. And not far from here is an ancient altar, and the altar is marked off with stones like a fence to keep people going into that region. And some people believe that was an area where Noah and his family made additional sacrifices to God, and the stones were used to keep people and animals from going into that region. It was like a holy mountain. But my friends, today we're living in dangerous times. Noah and his family were living in very turbulent times, and they were given the assignment to repopulate the earth. Can you imagine any assignment more difficult than that? But Noah was very careful to listen to God and to pay heed to God's instructions. And likewise, if we're going to sail through turbulent waters at the end of the age, and we are, then we have to very carefully listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us and move with urgency when God speaks. And that is what I'm going to talk to you about today.
Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times. And doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner. Thank you for letting me come into your space. It is a privilege that you would let me speak the wonderful Word of God to you today. And today I'm going to continue my series, which is called How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. We're really living in the last days. And the Bible prophesies very clearly that the water is going to get pretty rough at the end of the age. And my friends, we need to know how to sail through the most turbulent of times. People today are being swept up into all kinds of destruction. There's moral confusion, gender confusion. There's so much confusion in the world today. People don't know what's right. People don't know what's wrong. It's really a fulfillment of what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. He described a day at the end of the age when people would call light darkness, and they would call darkness light. They would call good bad and bad good. We're really living in that time. And I know that you, friend, don't want to sink with the rest of the world or your kids or your grandkids or your friends, and you can float on a sea of destruction just like Noah and his family and the animals floated on the water during the time of the flood. Think about that. The flood destroyed everybody else. But because Noah and his family heard from God and did what God told them to do, they floated on the same waters that destroyed everything else. And I cover in this series the 10 principles you need to help you sail victoriously through turbulent end time weather. And by the way, this would be a great gift for you to give to somebody else as well. And remember that it comes with this amazing study guide that is enormous, and it's just filled with all the points, all the principles. Everything in the series is in the study guide, so you can read it while you're seeing or hearing the series. And we're also offering you right now my book, which is called Last Days Survival Guide. The back of the book says, God wants you prepared for these perilous times. This is a practical book, and at the end of every chapter, there are action steps to help you know how to respond to what you have read in every one of the chapters. The foreword is by my friend Perry Stone, and the subtitle says, A Scriptural Handbook to Prepare You for These Perilous Times. Please order this today or order the series, and you can order all of it by going online or by giving us a call right now. And when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray for you, because we want to pray for you, and we're waiting for the phone to ring right now. Just call the number on the screen or send us an email. And when your email shows up, or when you call us, we're going to release our faith according to Jeremiah 33:3, which declares, "Call unto me, I'll hear you, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things." And we will call out to God with you. You can pray by yourself. Of course you can. You're a child of God. But there's agreement in prayer. And if you'll call out to us, get into agreement with us, we'll get into agreement with you, we'll call out to God in faith, God will hear us, and God will move and do something simply spectacular on your behalf. He really will. But before I today get into the teaching, I want to tell you about a part of our ministry that you don't know about. We have one particular part of our ministry that is connected to our online church. Our online church is an online Russian-speaking church. It is a full-fledged church. It has youth ministry, Sunday school, women's ministry, men's ministry, and we have over 230,000 members of our online church. And as part of our online church, we produce films to reach the unsaved. For example, we recently made a film called The Judge, and it is about a man who dies and finds himself seated in a courtroom where he is tried for his sin. The movie is absolutely riveting. When I saw what our team produced, it simply stunned me because of the level of excellence and professionalism. And people are watching that film clip because it just catches their attention. Here is a man who died in his sin. Now he's seated in a courtroom where he's being judged for his sin, and the evidence is stacked against him, but someone steps forward to say, "Hey, the price has been paid." And this person is Jesus, who begins to say, "This man actually knows me, and therefore none of the evidence can stand against him." It is just riveting. And because of that and other films which we have produced like that, we're flooding the internet, touching the unsaved world with great results. And the reason we're able to do this is because of our partners. Our partners' gifts really enable us to do this work of ministry. And today, if you're a partner, I'm saying from my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you for being a partner. We cannot do what we do if you don't do what you do. That's why the Bible says one plants, another waters, God gives the increase, God gets all the glory. That there's nothing for him to increase if somebody didn't plant and water. We all do our parts. And I want to say thank you, partner, for the part that you play in helping us obey the Great Commission. And if you're not already a partner, please pray about becoming a partner with our ministry. You can become a partner right now by going online or by giving us a call. And we'll welcome you into our partner family and send you two books as our way of saying welcome to the family, my book called Life in the Combat Zone and my wife's book called The Gift of Forgiveness, because we always give these two books to anyone who becomes a part of our partner family. But reach for your Bible, and today we're going to continue the series, How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. And today we're going to see that you've got to act with fearlessness when you have received God's instructions. So reach for your Bible. And remember that I went with my team to the eastern mountains of Turkey, where we visited the ship-shaped formation on the lower mountains of Ararat on a mountain called Mount Judi. And as you go down into the valley below, there are the ruins of an ancient Armenian and Byzantine church, which dates to about 500 AD. That is really old. And the Byzantines built that church in that location because they said below it were the ruins of Noah's house in the valley where he became a vine dresser and had a big vineyard. You can read about that in the book of Genesis. And they commemorated that place as the place where Noah lived with his family. I've been there. I visited the site. I've been all over it. My friends, these things are really true. But the reason I went to the mountains of error was to teach a series called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. If you didn't get that series, please order it. But I'm also teaching this series, How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. Well, when Noah was alive, there was a lot naturally for him to be afraid of. You say, well, what was there for Noah to be afraid of? Well, the world was filled with giants. Giants were in the world. And we know from early history they were cannibals. They began to eat human beings when they ran out of food. And then when they stopped eating human beings, the giants began to turn on each other and they began to eat each other. This is why whenever Noah came off the ark, the first law God gave to man was that man was not to eat blood. Let's not go back to what the giants did before the flood. It was a barbaric world filled with violence before the flood. Angels were coming down, fallen angels, sexually cohabitating with women that were giving birth to these giants. There were monsters in the world at that time. There was a lot to be afraid of. And not only that, but God said to Noah, a flood is coming. No one had ever seen a flood, but it sounded pretty scary naturally. And Noah had to deal with what he heard. And if Noah just looked at the giants, saw this interaction with fallen angels and women all around them, monsters in the world, and news about a catastrophic future flood that was coming, and he had a task to build a big boat with the world's opinion against him, there was so much naturally that Noah could have been afraid of. But fear paralyzes you. It incapacitates you so that you cannot move forward. But when we come to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, think about it. Here, you and me, we're living in the end of the age. This really is the end of the age. And according to the prophecies of the Bible, it's going to get pretty bizarre before we get all the way to the rapture of the church. But if we're alive now, it means we've been chosen for this time. And we've not just been chosen, we are anointed for this time. We can do it, and we do not need to have a spirit of fear. We don't need to have that. We need to put fear aside and fearlessly face the future and fearlessly do what God has called us to do like Noah did. But let's look at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. In Greek, the word not is emphatic. God categorically has not given us the spirit of fear. The word given is a form of the Greek word didomi, which means to give, to hand over, to pass over, to transmit, to transfer, which means a spirit of fear has never been given or transferred to us by God. God has categorically not ever given to us a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. In Greek, it is the word pneuma and the word delios. The word pneuma is the word for spirit, and it can also depict an attitude. The word delia depicts cowardice or timidity. As a phrase, it depicts an attitude or a spirit of cowardice or timidity. And when you have a spirit of fear, it literally paralyzes you. It incapacitates you. You're afraid to move. You're afraid to function. In fact, usually when you have a spirit of fear, rather than move forward and take new territory, you move into a mode of retreat and self-preservation. You're thinking about how to protect yourself because you're controlled by a spirit of fear. And notice that the Apostle Paul calls it a spirit of fear. That's because fear really is a spirit. Have you ever been in a place or maybe watching a movie and suddenly something fearful was depicted on the screen and you felt something fearful come into the room where you were? Or maybe you've been in a situation where suddenly you felt fear come. That's because fear really is a spirit. And you've got to resist fear just like you would resist any devil. You've got to tell it to go in Jesus' name. And if you yield to a spirit of fear, my friends, you will never be able to do what God's calling you to do. If you yield to a spirit of fear, you'll fear things that will never happen in a million years, but you'll worry about it, wonder if it could happen. All the ifs will incapacitate you. You'll move into a mode of retreat and self-preservation and protection while the world goes to hell and while the task that you've been given is unfulfilled because the spirit of fear is incapacitating you. Noah had that opportunity. He had to put up with and resist a spirit of fear. And God, this verse says, has not given to you a spirit of fear which would make you a coward or fill you with timidity. But what did God give you? Well, the verse goes on to say, but, And the word but in Greek is the word Allah, which would be better translated, but on the contrary, and all the way to the other end of the spectrum, God has given you power and love and a sound mind. Wow. The word power is the word dunamis, which depicts explosive, superhuman power that comes with enormous energy and produces phenomenal, extraordinary, and unparalleled results. That word power, the Greek word dunamis, is the word used in the New Testament to depict mighty deeds that are impressive, incomparable, and beyond human ability to perform. That's what God has given you. And it was used to depict the full effects of an earthquake or hurricane or a tornado. And it is the same word used by the Greeks and the Romans to describe the full might of an advancing army. That's what God has given you. God's given you dunamis. You have power in you like an earthquake to shake things up. You have power in you like a hurricane to blow things out of the way. You have power in you like a tornado to raise things that get in your way. And you have within you the full might of an army to advance. But a spirit of fear will put you in retreat. So you've got to decide what you're going to embrace. And rather than embrace fear, you've got to embrace the greater one that's on the inside of you. But not only have you been given power, you've been given love. Love is important because sometimes when you're doing the will of God, you get into situations where other people hurt your feelings or other people disappoint you, and you can become incapacitated by hurt. But God's given you divine love. And in fact, this word love is the Greek word agape, which depicts a divine love that gives and gives and gives and gives, even if it's never responded to, thanked, or acknowledged. That's what God has given you, the ability to overcome any disappointment. And this verse says God has given you a sound mind. And I love this Greek word, the word sophronismos. It's a compound of two Greek words. The first word is sozo. The second word is phren. The word sozo denotes deliverance, healing, prosperity, safety, soundness, and well-being. The second part of the word comes from the Greek word phren, which describes the intelligence or the mind. It's where the old science called phrenology comes from, the Greek word phren, and it pictures the mind or the intellect. But when you compound the two words together, sozo and phren, here it is the word sophronismos, which means to be of sound mind, to be reasonable, to be balanced, to be level-headed in the way that one thinks, to think clearly, to think rationally, and it depicts a mind that has been delivered, a mind that has been rescued, a mind that's been revived, a mind that's been salvaged, a mind that is protected and which is now safe and secure. And this verse says that's the kind of mind that God gave you. It is the opposite of irrationality. When you have a spirit of fear, you become irrational. You begin to imagine things happening that will never happen to you, but the possibility of them seems so real because you're being controlled by a spirit of fear. But my friends, when you have a sound mind, you think clearly and you think rationally. Well, again, Noah had to deal with fallen angels. He had to deal with giants, a human race that was completely corrupted. He had to deal with monsters and negative voices, a prophetic announcement that the world was going to be destroyed by a flood, that he was to build an ark. He had to find the resources to do the job. He could have worried about that. He had to collect two animals of every kind and put them in his backyard, including dangerous animals. And naturally, Noah and his family would have every reason to fear, but they did not fear. Instead, they fearlessly tackled the assignment that God gave them to do. Wow. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, God spoke to Joshua and three times said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And again, be strong and courageous. God knew that Joshua needed to be strong. He needed to be courageous. And then when Joshua finally stood in front of the people, you know what the people said? Joshua will do anything you say to do, and if anybody gives you a problem, we'll kill them. Wow, what obedience. And then they finally added, we just have one request of you, be strong and have a good courage. God said to him three times, be strong and courageous. The people repeated what God said, be strong and be courageous. You know why? Because for you to do what God's called you to do fearlessly, you've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous. Well, the good news is, God's not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind, which means you have everything you need to do anything that God has called you to do. And in Genesis 7, verse 17, the Bible says, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth, and in the ark was Noah and his family safe because they had fearlessly obeyed." And my friends, for you to float on a sea of destruction in the end of the age, you've got to resist a spirit of fear and choose to fearlessly obey the instructions which the Holy Spirit has given to you. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Hey, this is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked a really important question. Here it is. What if I'm praying very sincerely, but my prayers are not answered? What's wrong? Well, it may be that you're praying sincerely, but you're praying incorrectly. The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, that if we pray anything according to His will, that means according to His word or according to Scripture, He hears us. God doesn't hear us because of our much asking. He doesn't even hear us because of our sincerity. God is listening for His word. And God wants to know if you're praying scripturally, if you're praying in agreement with what He has written in the Bible. And many people pray sincerely, but they pray incorrectly. And it's very important, if you want your prayers to be answered, that you pray according to His will. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us and we will have the petitions which we have requested of Him.
It seems we are surrounded by the swirling currents of destruction in a world that has gone astray. Many feel besieged by these tempestuous times and worry about their loved ones, praying that they will somehow survive the fluctuating tides. Noah and his family faced insurmountable challenges, but God showed Noah concrete steps to ensure he and his family could rise above the confusion and float on a raging sea of destruction. In this series, How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days, Rick Renner takes you deep into the specific instruction God gave Noah and shows how those same instructions are needed again now to survive and thrive in a world gone mad. In this 10-part series, Rick covers how to be sure you are sealed tight and safe, how to stay steady in turbulent times, how to get God's personal instructions for you, how to act with fearlessness when God speaks. This powerful series will help you fill your heart and mind with victory and will show you how to rise above the destructive tides. And it is available in digital or physical format starting at just $20. In addition, we're also offering you Rick's book, Last Days Survival Guide, a practical and essential guide to help you protect yourself and those you love from the nonsense that is wreaking havoc in the world. And it's available today for only $29. Order the bundle of the series, How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days, and the book, Last Days Survival Guide, today. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code to order. Call or go online today.
This is Rick Renner, and today I'm in the Tulsa office, and this is another part of our new TV studio. This is where Denise is filming TV programs. And how wonderful that now we have two little studios, one for her and one for me, where we can interview guests who can't come all the way to Russia to be interviewed in our studio there. So when we're in the United States, we can interview them here. And that's what we've been doing all week in this wonderful facility which God gave us in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're so grateful for this building. It was really a gift from the Lord, and it's almost paid for. We've already retired 86% of the debt. We just need to go a little ways to finish this. We call it the Ministry Expansion Project because when this is finished, it's going to allow the ministry to really expand financially, to wrap our arms around the whole world where people need the trusted teaching of the Bible, and we know that's our calling. And if you're part of the giving team, I want to say thank you for helping us to retire the debt on this facility and to release those finances. And if you're not a part of the giving team yet, I'm inviting you today to join us to help us finish this project. Wow, what a shout of victory we're going to give to God on that day when it's done. And just think of the people that are going to be reached. So thank you for being a part of the Ministry Expansion Project. You know, when we come back tomorrow, we're going to see how you can inherit the promises of God. When the flood was over and Noah and his family exited the ark, the whole planet was theirs. And their job was to replenish the earth, to be fruitful and to multiply. But they literally became inheritors of the world. And tomorrow I'm going to show you what you have to inherit the promises of God and to even be blessed in turbulent times. But I want you to order the entire series, which is called How to Float on a Sea of Destruction in the Last Days. You can do it. Say amen. And be sure to also order the study guide that goes along with it. And we're offering you today my book, which is called Last Days Survival Guide. Oh, how I want you to have this book, and I want you to order several, because I know you're going to want to share one of them with somebody else who's dealing with difficult times. This book will really help them. The subtitle says, A Scriptural Handbook to Prepare You for These Perilous Times. My friends, we're not just to survive these times, we're to thrive in them, and we can do it. We can do it. We can fearlessly obey what the Lord has told us to do and become inheritors of the promise of God, even in difficult times. That's where we're going to pick up tomorrow. But right now, I want you to put your hand on your heart, and I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you that you have not given me or my friend a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in the name of Jesus, now, friend, you do this with me. We rebuke and resist the spirit of fear in Jesus' name, and we tell you to go. And we embrace power, love, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you fearlessly do what the Lord's telling you to do. And remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there's power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.